just inside the doorway. Use it only in emergency. Better you should pray to God, the Father and the Spirit will guide you and protect you from up here. Can you hear me?
Well, good afternoon and welcome, my friends. Yes, it is Tuesday. Tuesday, October the 24th, Robbie Noel with you on the flip side for 1 hour. This hour brought to you by Republic Trading Group. Our toll-free number is 1-800-691-7898. Our web address, republictradinggroup.com, updated each and every morning at 0-100. There may be one or two days we're going to miss this week. Tell you about that in a minute. Yours truly is going to rehab. Well, it's a popular thing. Everybody's going to rehab lately. I want to figure out what all the excitement about rehab is. I'm going to go check myself into rehab. I should be fine by, let's say Monday morning. Quick check of, only kidding, going on a little vacation. Dow Jones Industrials closed up 10 points today, 12,127. And considering it was 10 points higher than it was yesterday, another new record set on the Dow. Does it mean anything? Of course not. NASDAQ finished down 10 points at 2,344. According to the Associated Press, Wall Street was wobbly today and listless and closed mixed as investors awaited the results of this week's Federal Reserve meeting, which takes place tomorrow. Great anticipation. What's the Fed going to do? General consensus priced into the market. Fed ain't going to do anything. Needless to say, it caused a little action in the gold market today. Gold closed up $4.10 at $584.80. Silver up 18 cents at $11.82. Platinum down $6 at $1,062. Palladium up 3 at $322. Currently in Asian trading, gold continues to soar in aftermarket, up $1.20, $586 even. Silver, platinum, and palladium are in rehab, otherwise known as vacation. Crude oil ended the day up 14 cents at $59.49 a barrel. Yesterday, everybody said, well, the Saudis aren't going to meet their quota by cutting the oil supply. Today, a different story. Funny how that happens. The dollar, in anticipation of what the Fed is going to do, is absolutely flat, sitting at 86.42. Nobody seems to figure out on a day-to-day basis what Mr. Bernanke is going to say after they release his statement that they're not going to raise interest rates. Is inflation a threat? Well, that's the big question. We'll try to answer it when we return.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECF, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com, or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
Now, there's something that can give you the extra energy you need without the use of powerful stimulants and pills. Introducing the all-new Energy Enhancer Patch by LifeWave. This amazing new patch works with the electronic and magnetic features of the body, like a cellular radio, to transmit information from the patches into the body and enhance the production of energy and stamina. And the patch is non-transdermal, which means nothing actually enters your body. It's safe. You simply apply the patch, and the Energy Enhancer does the rest. No more carrying around bottles, pills, or capsules. No more jitters from powerful stimulants. The LifeWave technology in the patches communicates with the body through the human magnetic field, untapping the energy within. Combined with a regular exercise program along with a healthy diet, the Energy Enhancer Patch may help give you the extra energy you need. So join the thousands who discovered the Energy Enhancer Patch by LifeWave and experience the energy within. To order your supply of the Energy Enhancer Patch, simply go to www.lifewave.com/HSA. Don't wait. Act now.
Welcome, my friends, as we walk in fields of gold. You know the funny thing, yesterday when gold was all $13, the general consensus was, well, I think we're going to have a mild winter, therefore heating oil and fuel stocks are high enough where we do not see oil as an inflation worry. Well, according to Bloomberg today, gold rebounded in New York, snapping a two-session slide after a gain in oil prices increased the appeal of the precious metal as a hedge against inflation. My goodness, a complete turnaround in 24 hours from not to worry about oil to suddenly worry about oil. Crude market is the inflationary aspect that we are dealing with, said Frank Leash, a trader at Future Path Trading LLC in Chicago. Minutes from the Federal Reserve September meeting released October the 11th showed the central bank saw a substantial risk that inflation had not receded. Well, yesterday it was receded. Well, guess today hasn't receded. Traders in New York City expect the Fed to hold its overnight interest rate on loans between banks at 5.25% tomorrow on speculation that inflation persists. The Fed last raised rates on June the 29th. What does it mean for the dollar? If the Fed doesn't raise rates, well, gold drops. Yeah, simple equation. As today was a typical example, as gold gained after the dollar fell against the euro, erasing earlier losses. The metal generally moves in opposite direction of the U.S. currency, which has fallen 5% this year against a basket of six major currencies. The euro has climbed 6% against the dollar, and gold is up 13% year-to-date. The dollar's strength from the Fed inflation fight is more important than gold's role as a hedge against inflation, said the spokesman from Future Path. Went on to add the metal has fallen 20% since mid-May, partly because oil tumbled 25% from a record in July. Needless to say, some analysts feel that gold's failure to hold $600 last week may trigger more selling. Traders remain under the impression that this declining stage in gold values is perhaps not just another test of immediate support, but an overture to revisit at least the summer lows of last year, according to a gold trading company in Montreal, Canada. Gold touched $546 on June the 14th after reaching $732 on May the 12th, the highest since February of 1980. We are slowly becoming bullish on gold once again, simply because it has fallen so fast, said Dennis Gatman, trader, economist, editor of Suffolk, Virginia-based Gatman Letter. Well, there's no question, gold moves, opposite directions to the dollar, kind of moves in tandem with what oil does. But by and large, gold's moves are predicated on inflation. We do not even understand the term inflation in the good old US of A. People in Zimbabwe, however, know what inflation is all about, and you will find the top story on republictradinggroup.com today is headed Zimbabwe, Inflation and the Minimum Wage. Advice: buy gold and silver and lots of it. The Magumbo Guru says that if you want a good lesson in inflation by creating excesses of money and credit, financing a whole lot of government corruption with a high degree of murderous viciousness, theft, and criminality and stupidity, then look no further in my former home country of Zimbabwe. Reuters reports Zimbabwe's central bank governor on Monday raised the country's main lending rate by 200 percentage points to 500% in a drive against skyrocketing inflation and a severe economic crisis. It's inflation rate. Now, bear in mind that our official inflation rate is, 3.5%. Whatever the cost of living increase, those of you who get Social Security checks got, for the month of October, I think it was $32, which is kind of like 3%. Zimbabwe's inflation rate, 1,204%. It's the world's highest. Unemployment, more than 70%, as companies simply either fold or are forced to downsize. So inflation is twice the official interest rate. Requiring people to borrow money at 500% to make 1,204%, which produces more inflation in prices. And it's supposed to stop people from borrowing money at 500% to earn 1,204%. Even though it produces inflation in prices, this is so idiotically insane that there is one country that the United Nations should invade to dispose a ruthless, thieving, murderous dictator and imprison the whole swath of his henchmen and collaborators to save the people and the country. Forget Afghanistan and Iraq. Here's where we should be. No kidding. The Magumbo Guru goes on to point out what signs in the U.S. you can notice about inflation. Yesterday, zinc passed the $1.80 mark. That means that the current penny has a melt value of 0.0101867. In fact, if you add it up, all the coins in your penny jar are worth more than their denomination, except, of course, for the steel cents, which were made during World War II. And a lot of people don't realize that the penny that we think is copper is actually zinc. Well, the zinc, because the penny is just copper-coated. The zinc, if you cut open the penny, you'll see zinc inside. The zinc is worth more than a penny. Is this bizarre? Well, sure it is. It just illustrates the insanity of what we are dealing with. When the actual inflation figures, if they ever do come out, people will be shocked and amazed. But you needn't be shocked and amazed. I mean, do the math for yourself. Figure out what it costs you, your basics, to survive each month. Compare the prices to what they were a year ago. You ain't going to see a 3% increase, I'll guarantee you that. You'll see closer to where the real inflation rate is, which is about 10%. Now, granted, Zimbabwe is a different situation altogether. We understand why they are dealing with the 1,200% inflation rate. But that's neither there. I don't think the United States will ever mimic the financial irresponsibility of the Zimbabwean government. But we can't be too sure on that. But nevertheless, understanding gold is very basic. There's nothing too complicated to understand about it. It is simply a protection of purchasing power. Gold will give you the simple guarantor. If you put $10,000 into gold today, whatever $10,000 is going to buy you today, as far as stuff is concerned, gold gives you the simple guarantee. In a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, if you want to acquire the same amount of stuff, irrespective if it's priced at $20,000 or $30,000, you will still be able to buy that stuff with the $10,000 you have in gold. Gold just simply protects purchasing power. Nothing more complicated than that. People try to make things more complicated than they are, but that's what gold's role is. Gold's role is to protect you against idiotic politicians who make really, really, really dumb things happen on a consistent basis. And we have no protections against what they do. Gold is the only thing that offers you protections against stupid politicians. How stupid are politicians? Well, to give you an example, when they passed this the port protection bill, snuck inside the port protection bill was banning of internet gambling. Now, this doesn't, and I know there's a lot of people, well, I don't gamble, and as a matter of fact, I don't think anybody should gamble. Well, that's not the point. It's just simply, once again, regulation being imposed from dictates from Washington. Is it going to stop internet gambling? Of course not. All it's simply going to do is going to drive a lot of people underground. But it also illustrates this philosophy, this socialist mindset that has consumed Washington, D.C. You see, we do live in a socialist country, but nobody wants to admit it's socialism that we are dealing with, and socialism is the cause of all our problems. The best way for people to identify if a country is socialist is when the government takes control of private industry. I mean, if government was taking control of private industry in America, red flags would be flying all over the place. People would be marching in the streets, running down to Walmart to buy pitchforks. And they figured this out many years ago. And they figured out how they could impose a socialistic system without it looking like socialism. And lawyers, don't get me started on lawyers. Lawyers came up with this wonderful, unique philosophy. While we can still control business, all we've got to do is simply litigate it. You see, litigation or regulation gives government the ability to control private industry as if they were the owners of said industry. An example I always use, tobacco industry. Here you have the tobacco industry that produces a product, markets a product, and distributes a product. They make 50 cents net profit on a pack of cigarettes for $7. Well, who makes the other $6.50? I submit to you that whoever makes a larger profit than the manufacturer, the distributor of the product, it means that whoever's making the larger profit is the de facto owner of that industry. It's the same that goes for any industry you care to look at. We are being litigated to death, not only by politicians, but obviously by the legal entity out there called lawyers. See, it's ownership without the hassle. The rules that have come down on internet gambling are exactly the same. Why did the government want to ban internet gambling? After all, the government is in the business of gambling. They make a lot of money. They encourage you on a regular basis to buy lottery tickets every week. The difference with internet gambling is people who play Texas Hold'em, for instance, it's a skill game. In other words, the more skillful you are, the better your chances of winning. So you have a better chance of winning playing Texas Hold'em than you would play the lottery. After all, to win in the lottery, you have about a 14 million to one chance of winning. But you see, by regulating the business, in large part, I guess it's that mafia mentality. Why is the government concerned about internet gambling? Well, I guess it's because they hadn't figured out how to tax it. And obviously, these offshore internet companies were doing a big no-no. They were making money and not giving a fair kickback to the oligarchy in Washington, D.C. So because they couldn't figure out how to tax it, they banned it. Is it going to solve any problem? Of course not. But this is where we find ourselves today. We're in this litigious society. We can blame all the ills of the world on lawyers, which brings up the question of the hidden 13th Amendment or the missing 13th Amendment. Was it actually true or wasn't it true about lawyers and their involvement in government? But that's where we find ourselves today. It's a reason for litigation is a reason for all our ills. Whether we look at why companies, manufacturing companies, the backbone of American middle class, why these companies in America. Granted, some people can make the argument, it's because CEOs want to get a bigger share of the pie. But I submit to you, in large part, the reason why a lot of companies have left the United States, because it's not cost-effective to do business in the United States. You've got to deal with OSHA, you've got to deal with EPA, you've got to deal with all these rules and regulations imposed by government on small business, to the point where business says, it's not worth my while doing business in the United States, might as well move somewhere else, where we don't have a litigious society, where we've got to meet all these various government agencies. It's like the tax code. I mean, the question I asked an old friend of mine, a former IRS agent, and he long since left the IRS and went into private practice. And he told me one day, he says, IRS tax code changes every year. It's about 8,000 pages, of which about 800 pertain to the individual tax preparer, you and me. The rest of the legalese in the tax code is pretty much giving politicians the ability to reward or punish contributors to their campaigns. Huh? Yes, my friends. The reason why nobody will ever give serious consideration into whether or not the 16th Amendment was ever ratified is because the tax code gives politicians the ability to raise huge amounts of money. That is why you have the explosion in lobbyists. Why are the lobbyists in Washington, D.C.? Well, they are seeking favorable tax treatment for their clients, pure and simple. The more money corporations give to politicians to give them favorable tax treatment or to write rules and regulations that would punish their competition, is a reason why lobbyists have exploded into this huge street of corruption in Washington, D.C. called K Street. It all goes back to the tax code. And it all goes back to litigation. And so this is where we find ourselves today. This is why a lot of people can't figure out which side is up. But it just shows the insanity of the mindset of politicians in Washington. And the reason why, as I said, gold is pretty much your only insurance against the insanity of what these people are going to do on a constant basis. It's the reason why we'll have a very hard time repealing the 16th Amendment. It's just because the tax code is a cash cow for all these politicians. It's a wonderful scam when you think about it. Find a large corporation that's been unfairly punished by the IRS because of some tax code written in more than likely by some liberal against some environmental rule pertaining to the corporation. Well, a corporation, if it thinks it's going to save by getting a tax law repealed, reversed, could save them $10 million. Well, giving $1 million to a politician is going to save the company $10 million is not a problem. I mean, this is the problem that goes on with politics in America today. This is why, as we are facing 2 weeks before the next election, all we hear about when these so-called politicians debate each other is the mudslinging that goes on. There's no debate on any issues. There's no serious discussion about America's future, about what's happening to the middle class, about why companies are leaving the country. Of course, they don't want to discuss these issues, because if you had to discuss these issues, you'd end up with the truth. And unfortunately, the truth for a lot of these people would be very uncomfortable. And that's why you see all these stupid laws. Let's ban the internet. Why? I don't know. Sometimes, as I said, can't make head or tails of what goes on in Washington, D.C. Which, my friends, is another reason why yours truly is going to check himself into rehab for the next 3 or 4 days. I'm only kidding about the rehab. I'm just going to take a vacation. Call it rehab, if you will. There comes a time when one has to check out. One has to disconnect. One has to cut the umbilical cord with the world of news and finance. One has to take time to smell the roses. And every now and again, I have this... Well, I don't ask me what it is. It's a desire just to get on the road, open the windows, and go somewhere I've never gone before. I don't know where I'm going. But I'm going to put you in the good hands of Jeffrey Bennett until my return on Monday. Till then, my friends, see you, bye.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Attention, if you're one of the millions of Americans who buy and trade stocks or invest in the real estate market, you'll want to hear this. Did you know that the Forex, foreign currency exchange market, trades over $2 trillion a day? That's more than the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ combined. Now, imagine being able to trade in the Forex without any prior trade experience or spending endless hours predicting market movements. Well, now you can. Introducing Freedom Rocks. Freedom Rocks' structured trading approach takes the guesswork out of what and when to buy by providing you a planned set of guidelines, all at a fraction of the cost of other similar type programs. And instead of focusing on thousands of stocks, Freedom Rocks focuses on the top four currency pairs. Our software tells you what to buy, how much to buy, and when to buy. Go to MySimpleForex.com. That's MySimple, the number four, the letter X.com. And join the thousands who've discovered Freedom Rocks. Remember, MySimple, the number four, the letter X.com.
People who use Cartabite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartabite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartabite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartabite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartabite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Well, I'm afraid it's been raining for quite a while. Welcome back to the second half of The Flip Side. Jeffrey Bennett sitting in on this half of the hour, as I will be for the rest of the week, as Robbie's getting ready to hit the road and get away for a few days. Both he and I have been flip-flopping, doing a lot of that this last 3-4 months. And you know what? You need it. You spend an awful lot of time studying and reading and certainly dealing with clients at Republic Trading Group, etc. And you find that you just need to stop. You need to walk away sometimes. Well, unfortunately, this may or may not be the time to walk away. We have, but in a few more weeks, a couple of weeks, I guess, we've got our midterm elections coming up, as they call them. It has become interesting to me to follow some libertarian writers and political types that I have watched for some years. Some of them I personally know. And I find I don't agree with everything that the libertarian so-called party dictates. But in a column I read early this morning by Anthony Gregory, Gregory used to write for, one publication. He's now writing for another. And he's a very interesting young man. And he is young. He's probably half my age or thereabouts. And he wrote a column today entitled 1994 Redo, of course, spelled in the modern vernacular of Redux, R-E-D-U-X. And I found that I have a tremendous amount of sympathy for what he's writing about. And I share it with you only as a challenge to maybe your own thought process as this election comes up. The libertarians, of course, say don't vote. And that's got a mixed message to it as well. Gregory begins by saying, after seeing the excesses and abuses of single-party dominance of the presidency, Congress and the Senate, many mainstream Americans have finally had enough. It's very possible they'll rise up and, beyond our more reserved expectations, vote to, as we would say in Chicago, throw the bums out during this upcoming election. Maybe they'll vote for gridlock, vote for change. We don't know. A legislature that gives the president all he wants out of party loyalty is hardly the check and balance touted by the Federalist Papers. The libertarian strain still alive in America might emerge on Election Day, as it so rarely has before, and let it be known that it's time for the country to change direction. For the legislative branch to rein in the executive, to investigate its abuses of power and curb its boundless spending and graft. That's similar to what happened just a few short years ago, my friends. 1994. If you remember, the Democrats lost their grip of the House and the Senate after 40 years of comfort and corruption. Many libertarians saw in the populist electoral uprising some reasons to celebrate. Perhaps Clinton and Reno would finally have to answer for Waco. Certainly spending would be cut and the president's power would generally become less absolute. The contract with America had its severe faults, including unfortunate drug war mongering and demands for such unjustly applauded reforms as the balanced budget amendment, term limits, and the line item veto. But the general thrust of the Republican revolution, as Newt Gingrich called it, so thought many of us, would be to cut back government to, or at least to halt the burgeoning bureaucratic growth we saw under Democratic guardianship. You see, the people were, after all, voting to oust the Democrats for some very good reasons, or so it seemed. It appeared to be a vote against big government. What a joy it was at that time, just 12 short years ago, to believe, even for one brief shining moment, that America was about to become a little freer. Yeah, well, then reality hit. It took about a day or two after Newt Gingrich and his minions took over in January of 95 to realize that what we were witnessing was short of revolution and even of reform. It was the same old, my friends. Republicans did investigate Waco, and it turned out that a bipartisan consensus that the government did nothing fundamentally wrong is an even more credible whitewash than when only one party covers up for itself. Well, within a couple of years, the pork, the protectionism, the farm giveaways, and spending for the so-called general welfare were in fuller force than had been under the Democrats alone. And when Clinton, you remember him, was flexing his internationalist muscles, killing foreigners, expanding NATO, bombing civilian infrastructure, and continuing the Bush 1 Mideast policy, the Republicans saw it more fit to focus on his marital infidelities and his crimes against humanity. Of course, they'd also back Clinton's post-Oklahoma City police state. And what do we see today? In the year of our Lord, 2006, a discredited and despised administration, a war regretted by everyone except the most loyal GOP goose-steppers, a distrusted security apparatus, and an ever-shrinking sphere of liberty yielding to an ever-widening public sector. My friends, we see congressional corruption and conniving so grand that even the Republicans ignore the marital infidelities, or at least they ignore their own. You see, the response from many libertarians is that it is time for the Democrats to win, to return to legislative dominance after their 12-year hiatus and serve as a wrench in the machinery. Maybe they'll even investigate Iraq. And some heads might roll, or at least wrists will be slapped or sliced. Maybe the takeover will happen. Maybe the people will rise up and once more kick the crooks out. Maybe they'll even do it for mostly the right reasons. But then what? Democrats are not our salvation. As monstrous and criminal as the Republicans are, and inexplicably, they are still given a pass by some friends of liberty as the lesser of two evils, a group that I referred to years ago as the evil of two lessers, the Democrats could also prove to be worse. That's happened before many times. FDR ran on a platform of dramatically cutting back the government expanded by Herbert Hoover in the latter's failed attempts to mitigate the Depression. FDR then did a 180-degree turn and erected America's first peacetime garrison economy. LBJ was supposed to keep us out of the war that Barry Goldwater was sure to get us into. But once Johnson was elected, peace was not the result, though he did pump up the welfare state while he was drafting Americans and slaughtering the Vietnamese. You see, my friends, in fact, the Democrats have pretty much always been a party of war and big government. The Republic rats have certainly never been anything but champions of murder and looting. But the libertarian revisionist line that the Democrats have a Jeffersonian strain, or at least a libertarian heritage, also has its problems. You see, in 1800, the Jeffersonians, the party of free trade and liberty, beat out the Federalists only to establish the permanent navy, deploy it abroad, and launch the first major war in U.S. government history. The Democrats also gave us the second major war in U.S. government history, when they invaded Mexico in a totally unprovoked and unprecedented act of aggression, and I'll never, ever, ever forgive them for World War I, and oh, what about World War II? Let's be honest, my friends. Both parties are rotten to the core, always have been, and always will be. Now, that's not to make a statement on those of you out here who may be registered Republicans or registered Democrats. In some respects, I'd like to say, no, you're not the problem. But then again, you see, maybe we are. Maybe because we continue to send the same whores to Congress time after time after time. Maybe it is our fault. But God help us if the Democrats take Congress this year and get the presidency in 08. Now, don't misunderstand me. These are the words of Anthony Gregory. They're not mine. I say, God help us if either the Democrats or Congress, or the Democrats or Republicans, maintain control of the Congress and the presidency. Gregory continues. At times, Democratic presidents can actually get away with more senseless killing and militarism, since political pressure from both sides of the spectrum pushes them in that direction. The left will tolerate more bombings from a Democrat, and the right will condemn the Democrats for being international wimps if they don't send ground troops. For a short period in the 1990s, there was some right-wing resistance to Democratic imperialism. But 9-1-1 has made that dynamic very unlikely. You'd better believe that if Hillary Rodham Clinton demands a bombing, the Republic rats will not be calling for a ceasefire. The Democrat would have to prove his or her willingness to kill for America, and he or she will. With a Republic rat Congress and a demagogue in the Oval Office, there might be more restraint with domestic spending than we've seen in the last 6 years. But as for war, Democrats have very rarely been against it. And if they come to have both the presidency and Congress, we can expect welfare and warfare from here to eternity. Now, some things could get better if the Democrats storm the halls of Congress this November, or they could get worse. George W. Bush might be worse than LBJ, but his successor might be worse than Nixon. The fact is, electoral politics is not going to bring peace and freedom to America. Certainly so long as the population believes in war and statism. We have no way of knowing which scoundrels will actually do more damage once they have power, since power itself has a tendency to corrupt no matter who holds it. The dirty little secret about democracy and our so-called two-party system in particular is no matter how bad things are, they can get worse, all under the subterfuge of reform and the people's participation. You can throw the bums out only to see them replaced by a new horde of rapacious, organized bums waiting in the wings. And what's worse, for at least a few months after a momentous election, people will bring down their guard in hopes that the less evil party they voted into power will actually prove to be an improvement. It sometimes takes years to recognize that nothing, has really changed, and nor do I expect it will. Sorry for the phone ringing in the background. It's very clear. We leave messages that were not available during a certain time period, and son of a gun, they call anyway. Well, we sit here on this date, the 24th day of October, 2006, frustrated by much that has happened. It's been, I don't know, what's it been, over a week since I've been on the air with you? Maybe longer, I'm not sure. Much continues to happen. 1 week ago today, our illustrious leaders signed this new Military Commissions Act of 2006 into being. Over the course of the weekend, I had much to absorb. I was a guest on a radio program on another network over the weekend for an hour. And this was the general direction of the program and of the interview, was this discussion of the Military Commissions Act. And we have no idea what's going on. Hey, Mr. Producer, are we still on? Because my call record is showing me something different. No, it's on. We're on. Thanks, man. Over the course of the week, and by the way, before I get any further away, this hour is brought to you exclusively by the Republic Trading Group. For those of you who care to take advantage of the what I believe will not be much more than another 3 or 4 weeks worth of low gold and silver prices. I mean, obviously we could be proven to be wrong, but for those of you who are wanting to augment your financial situation with a degree of security and privacy, we certainly invite you to call Robbie or myself at 1-800-691-7898, and let's see if there's something we might be able to do to help you. You're certainly aware of what the markets did today. The aftermarkets, as far as I'm concerned, from a buyer's standpoint, are even more favorable than they were several hours ago. I'll be making some calls after hours tonight. I'm working on a series of IRAs, individual retirement accounts, and Mike, if you're out there listening, I'll be in touch. I missed you last night. And so we take care of those things. Anyway, when I got back into the office late Saturday, my wife was off last week, and we left to go to the mountains for a few days, and I think we've made a decision that that is where we are going to wind up. Once we get this home sold, I think we're going to relocate back to Flagstaff, Arizona. We don't know that for sure, but that's the game plan. It's like going home. We lived there for many years, and we find that we missed it. Matter of fact, this is the first time I've spent any time up in the mountains in 14 years, 14 out of the 16 years since we moved down here to the desert. And I grow weary of the desert, and I want to get away from it. And I prefer the tall pine trees and the crisp, cool air on a fall day and the colors, et cetera, et cetera. Well, when I get back, I'm inundated with hundreds and hundreds of emails I'm having to weed through. Some are junk mail, some are things worth looking at, some are pieces that I had to work on for posting. And when I began to work on my website over the course of the weekend, the first 4 or 5 columns all had to do with this very issue, the Military Commissions Act of 2006. I do not have time during this hour to share with you the entire column. I'm going to give you a little bit of a teaser. And for those of you who are on the Internet, I invite you to visit the Federal Observer later this evening at www.federalobserver.com and read the column under the heading Without Apology. The name of the column is America DOA, October 17th, 2006. The subtitle, of course, are words that have come from our illustrious leader at some point in time in the past. It's just a GD piece of paper, George Bush said. The president signed the Military Commissions Act of 2006 into law only after nearly full bipartisan support and approval from hundreds of congressional traitors. And believe it or not, the list that we have or have a link to did not even include votes received from the floor of the U.S. Senate. That's S-I-N, if you haven't figured that out. There was a time that I thought America had a chance to survive and, in fact, overcome the criminals which were selected for us to send to Washington to seat. I'm not sure that that chance exists any longer. America, as we knew her and as our founders envisioned it, is dead. Kaput. Fini. In the words of a gentleman who wrote a rather lengthy letter to the editor or a comment left on another website, I chose to make it an integral part of this column. I'll share with you what words I can in the moments we have left. He says, on Tuesday, your president signed into law the Military Commissions Act of 2006. This law, among other things, allows him to have anyone suspected of terrorist activity imprisoned without trial indefinitely. We now live in a country where one man, for any reason he sees fit, can have another man or woman picked up off the street and placed in a cell without having to justify it to anyone, including the person imprisoned. And for the past few years, the neocon Republic Rat Party has been the self-appointed judge of what it is or what is and is not patriotic. And so, our writer says, I would like to be the first registered Democrat to say that this is the most disloyal and un-American act undertaken by our government since the internment of the Japanese during World War II. Not only has this law betrayed the people of the Americas, of America, it has betrayed the very ideals that our founding fathers built this nation upon, along with voting and freedom of speech. The ability to quickly challenge any imprisonment handed down from our government at a court of law, judged by a jury of our peers, is one of the most basic rights that we have ever had. It is part of what made this country a beacon of hope to so many throughout the world, and it is now being chipped away at using fear as justification. What this law does, in conjunction with previous legislation, is allow the president to name anyone, including American citizens, an unlawful enemy combatant, a term applied to anyone working to attack the United States who is not a uniformed member of a national army. Once this label is applied, the person no longer has the right to petition a court, see any evidence, or even hear what the crime you're accused of committing. If the government does decide to hold a trial for anyone arrested under these laws, and I say if because it is under no obligation to do so within any time frame, it will be done not in a civilian court, but as all of you well know by now, by military tribunal. Away from the public eye, a military official will judge the innocence or guilt of anyone brought before him based on evidence that the defendant is not allowed to see or dispute if it has been labeled as classified. We can all change our names to Gordon Call. The act also prohibits the use in military trial of any statements coerced out of a defendant by torture, but allows the judge to make a decision to include such statements should he find that it would be that it would better serve justice to allow them into evidence. When this is combined with the very loose regulations we have implemented about what is and is not torture, it makes the rules prohibiting it meaningless. And so basically, my friends, what this law does is create a clear legal path for our federal government to pick up anyone they like, lock them away without charges until they can be tortured into confessing, and try them without public knowledge in a less than impartial setting. Some would say this is a good thing, that terrorists have no rights. And I agree. Anyone found to be plotting terrorist activity against the United States should be dealt with swiftly and have the harshest penalty the law allows come down upon them. It's not the rights of terrorists I'm concerned about, but the rights of Americans to defend themselves against charges leveled upon them. Terrorists and murderers are tried transparently in civilian courts because mistakes are made. People are falsely accused. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty, and the public has a right to know who its government is locking up and why. You know, the original language of the bill made it only apply to those caught outside the borders of America, but before passage through Congress, it was amended to apply to any non-citizen of the United States, within our borders or not. This includes all legal immigrants, like the international students at, what is it, West Virginia University, as well as 12 million permanent residents who pay taxes and are part of this country. Now, before you think that this does not apply to you as an American citizen, though, know that it very well can. While the term alien, meaning non-citizen, appears throughout the legislation, it does not appear in the definition of quote, unlawful enemy combatant, end quote, leading many legal experts to believe that this law will be applied to United States citizens who have been born and raised in this country as well. And a case of this has already happened, my friends. Jose Padilla, born a U.S. citizen, was arrested on suspicion of terrorist activity in Chicago after returning from a visit to several Middle East countries. He was labeled an enemy combatant by the president and sent to a military prison camp without charges, where he stayed for 3 years. Should we feel sorry for Jose Padilla? If he is guilty, which he may very well be, then no, we should not. The point is that without a trial, there is no way to know. I don't believe that the president is going to begin rounding up significant portions of the population and locking them away tomorrow. But I do believe that a legal mechanism that would allow him to do this goes against every idea that this country was founded on. By signing that bill and accepting this power, which will be granted to every president that follows him, George Bush was not only short-sighted and irresponsible, but in dereliction of his sworn duty to defend the United States Constitution against all enemies, foreign or domestic. Something certainly to think about. Words by Sean Rupert, who happens to be a teacher or professor at West Virginia University. I like finding comments like this from outside the normal sources of those of us who are either on the radio or have websites, whatever the case may happen to be. I think it was an interesting commentary. I think that you've probably heard enough about this subject over the course of the last week from many, many broadcasters, many writers. But I figured as long as I had the opportunity, I would plug my two cents in. But there's a little bit more to that column than meets the eye. So if you do want to visit Federal Observer, do take a look at it. You can certainly send me comments via email. The music's up. I'm down. It's been a long day, but I have much to do. Thank you for joining us on the flip side this evening. As I mentioned, I'll be sitting in for Robbie for the rest of the week as he hits the road. And you take care of yourselves. On behalf of the Republic Broadcasting Network, Robbie Noel and myself, without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett.
It's the same old thing out of Washington, D.C. Our elected officials doing as they please. We voted them in. They gave us an oath. Democrats and Republicans. Shame on them both. They want us to think that they know what's best. The gall to believe they're better than the rest of us working Americans who suffer and sweat while they contrive, deceive, and forget that we gave them their jobs and we can take them away. That's exactly what should be done this next election day. Every incumbent, without any exceptions, should be voted out of office to get their attention that they work for us, not the other way around. And we'll keep cleaning house till the right people are found. We're tired of the lies and their backdoor deals that line their pockets and are never revealed. So this upcoming election, let's put an end to their crap. Let's boot them all out of office and start over from scratch.
You're listening to RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. RBN.